turn now to the reading of God's word in connection with the sermon this morning. And this you'll find in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 21. So 2 Kings 21 from verse 19 through to the end of chapter 22. Second Kings chapter 21 from verse 19. And the focus for the sermon this morning consists of the 20 verses of chapter 22. And you might find it handy just to have the Bible open as we go through that. Second Kings 21 from verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haraz of Jotba, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the way in which his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Amon conspired against him, and put the king to death in his house. But the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his place. And now the focus for the sermon this morning. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king, and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands, therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you feel when you've come to the end of the line? That's a time when you have to give something up. Perhaps it was a job or a business you had, or a course that you were trying to study. You tried your hardest. You got whatever advice and help you could at the time. You went as far as you could, and then some more. It was all too much, though. No matter how much you did then, it was too late. All your effort was in vain. And in the end, you have to face the facts. And then, as well as those facts, wasn't there your pride as well? We don't like to fail. But often, it isn't us. It was a series of bad seasons. Perhaps cheap imports flooded the market. It was that economic downturn. There was just no more work in that trade. Or it wasn't where your talents are. What it means, though, is the end of that road. You have to try something else. The hardest thing is actually acknowledging that and moving on. Imagine, however, congregation, if the position you have means there cannot be another start at all. This end of the road is it. Full stop. Everything, and I mean absolutely everything, closes up shop after this. Well, this is what confronted King Josiah, right when he was just starting into getting everything going. You see, looking from the outside, this was no end of the road at all. It was obviously a new beginning. Judah had a God-fearing king. In fact, wasn't Josiah such a faithful king that we read about him in verse 2? And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And still, it's the end of the line. It's just all too late. God's people in the Old Testament had showed that they didn't have what it takes. So, congregation, there are two questions which our text lays before us. The first question is perhaps not so obvious, for instead of looking to what was found in the text, we ask, what had been lost? This is our first aspect. What had been lost? How could it be that there could be no new start for Judah's royal family? The very line which the Lord had prophesied as bringing about the ultimate king, the lineage which would make Israel great forever. Well, we do pick up an indication of what had been lost when a certain something is found. Because what was it that had been lost? The law of God, no less. The very framework Yahweh had given to his people before they entered the promised land so that they would be blessed before him in that land. The very words which clearly condemned all that Judah had now become. And here we don't need to debate whether this book was so many chapters of Deuteronomy or the whole five books of Moses themselves. It was a writing substantial enough to make clear how they were meant to worship and serve the Lord their God. And what would happen if they didn't do that? For while Josiah was a good king, raised by a godly mother, up until the point of hearing that law, Judah hadn't really changed that much from how things had been for centuries already. In fact, how things had been since Solomon himself. In fact, when that law is read out to him, Josiah is utterly cut to the heart. He sees straight away what it means. It's the end of the line. It's all over. What had been lost? Congregation, to hear those words of the Lord then for Josiah was to be confronted with his own death sentence. Because that law itself was meant to be read at least every 7 years. He would have heard that. That reading itself would have been done when Israel followed the annual cycle of feasts the Lord had laid down for them in his word. And he certainly knew that wasn't being done. And on top of that, he would have heard the Lord God's curse on Israel when she was disobedient and followed the ways of the nations around her. And Josiah would have known the history of the northern kingdom well enough on that score. And now he knew Judah was condemned too. What had been lost? Well, put simply, congregation, the blessing had been lost. The special presence and guidance of the covenant God himself, his constant calling them back through his prophets, his raising godly kings and is showing them decisively time and again that there could only be true peace and joy in his worship and service, it was gone. I feel sorry for Josiah. He was the king God's people should have had all along. If anyone fulfilled the requirements for kingship based on the book of the law, it was this man. But he's condemned. He's shot. So, what do you think your reaction would be if you heard your future spelled out like that? Sorry, it's the end of the line. You've got to go. Indeed, it's the big boss who came and told you so. What do you reckon? Time to take that trip to Disneyland? Try to live it up while you've got the redundancy still? No use hanging around here. Of course, we can't equate Josiah's situation with anything which happens today. But there are universal types of reactions when you get bad news. Your reaction can make you or break you. You can pick yourself up and get on with what you believe you ought to do, or you just fold up, blame yourself or blame anyone and anything else. I think it says something that Josiah's servants make a point of reading this book to the king. Any other king, and it would most likely have been buried even further into the junk under the temple. But they took it to this king, even though I'm sure they knew what it meant to him. It says a lot for the trustworthiness of these men, but especially for the godliness of the king who had put them there and who had reigned that way since he was 8 years old. What had been lost? It wasn't long before they found that out, well and truly. Josiah was quick to seek the Lord's guidance for his desperate quandary. His faithful servants were sent to find a prophet of the Lord. And they found her. Yes, her, a woman. It was a rare event. Actually, because it's a woman referred to here, even the liberal scholars accept this as true. They say someone trying to make the story up would have referred to a prophet like Jeremiah or Zephaniah, who were both around at the time. Shows they should really believe the Bible after all. And what Huldah, the prophetess, spoke to Josiah from the Lord could only confirm the Lord's law. The way of Yahweh's blessing through physical Israel had come to an end. He himself would be the last godly king. What had been lost? Congregation, what had been lost was any idea that God would bring about his deliverance through an earthly physical dynasty. That was smashed forever. It was beyond the point of no return. And this was a truth even 600 years later. The Jews still didn't understand. But it's a truth this text is very clear about. You see, what had been lost was that through the outward worship and practice of a particular race, the Lord would fulfill his plan. That's not to say his plan was therefore a failure. This part of his plan was perfectly setting up how his next stage was going to be. And that's what Josiah could see. And it's what we see too in the words of a second question we ask of our text. How was it found? How was it found? Now, when we read our text, we naturally would answer this question, well, it was found in the temple. That's where the book of the law was. But There was a whole process happening before this law was ever found. Josiah was embarking upon the repair of the temple, which was definitely in disrepair. For while it was 50 years ago that Hezekiah had repaired it last, there had been some pretty bad kings in between. And during the reign of one of them, Jerusalem was even conquered and ravaged. And then there was what else they had allowed to be worshipped in the temple beside the Lord God. The text also notes it was the 18th year of Josiah's reign. We can be sure that this wasn't something he delayed doing, but most likely it was the earliest peaceful period when he could turn his attention to doing such a major project. We also know from 2 Chronicles 34 that he had begun some reforms earlier on. Congregation, how was it found? It was found when this godly king is doing what he believes the Lord would be pleased his people would be doing. This means that the place of his presence amongst his people is undefiled and in the best possible condition. In other words, spotless. Can you give anything else to the Lord? There is still something else, though, to how was it found. Because what we have here is no accident. For while Josiah is well aware now that it's the end of the line for David's royal line in physical Israel, so his people would soon be in captivity, as Deuteronomy had foretold, he is yet moved by God's Spirit himself to show a special glimpse into the future beyond physical Israel. Notice Josiah's hit to the heart. In verse 11, he immediately tears his robes when hearing the law. He's really sorry, deep down. This is a repentance the Lord's prophet speaks about. She says to him, "Your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke." Congregation, while the law of God is just and has to carry out punishment against those who deserve it, yet it shows us the love of God that there are those who don't deserve it. This is the point of the Apostle Paul when he writes about God's law. He knows it can't save anyone. Israel's history proves it. But he also knows it's through the law, God's word, that his salvation does come. It's this grace which is merciful to Josiah. While he is still alive, there will be the blessing. The Lord holds off his angel of judgment. This is what Paul said in Galatians 5 verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. How was it found? Congregation, it was found through a child of the Lord being forgiven and restored. And then, while knowing the word of judgment on the Lord on his people, Josiah still went and carried out the most thorough reformation in all of Old Testament Israel's history. He even cleaned up what was left of the northern kingdom as well. While it was too late to change the heart of the people, what a wonderful pointer to the greatest of all the kings of Israel. The Messiah was the one who would come and change the hearts of his own in the new covenant. Congregation, then before the Lord gave Josiah his law, it had been lost. The people had gone a totally different way. And even with a king like Josiah, it wouldn't change that way. For while Josiah was a son of David's house, he wasn't the greatest son, despite the Lord's blessing being used by him in a comprehensive reformation of the promised land. Yet Josiah was killed on a battlefield. His followers all fell away. Josiah wasn't even able to convert his own sons. They were the same evil kings Judah had had so often before, except they became the last of those kings with very short reigns indeed. Congregation, this was why Jesus Christ had to come. He fulfilled perfectly what Israel and her kings and various priests and prophets could never do. It's because of this King of Kings that we can be assured that everything is going the right way. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. He satisfied the justice of God with the perfect sacrifice himself. And it's because of the King of Kings that our hearts are struck just like Josiah's. This is what the prophet spoke of when he prophesied in Jeremiah 31. There in verse 33 he declared, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." Congregation, this is the covenant we live in now. This is the new covenant. This is the covenant which was fulfilled in full when that greatest son of David won the greatest battle of all, the battle against all the forces of evil. And now the question can never be, how was it found? Because the law of God can never be lost. Through the doing and the dying and rising of Jesus Christ, the Spirit lays it upon your hearts. And so let's prove it in our lives. Let's go forth and show we are indeed reformed. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty and marvelous God, how much don't we stand in awe of your working. For while Judah had blown it with you, out of your grace, you still bless them through Josiah. But while Josiah could only bring that peace physically for 31 years, in your Son, Jesus Christ, we have spiritual peace and blessing that lasts forevermore. Thank you, Lord. And may we indeed show that today. Show it's your Spirit himself who leads your people, because through Christ, we're not under the law anymore. In his precious name we pray. Amen.